Yes, yes, yes. Wish list. And we're continuing in our series called Wish List. We're talking about the things that many of us just wish that Santa could bring us, but obviously he can't deliver on. And before we get into the message today, I do want to remind you guys, you saw the video announcement next weekend, the big Christmas extravaganza. We have all kind of great special things going on for the kids, special music, special things for you guys. It's going to be a great weekend. That's next weekend. And as you leave here, we have some flyers available that you can pick up. It's just one of those weekends where it's great to invite family, friends, your kids to bring their friends. I promise you we will not disappoint. And it's going to be a great, exciting weekend, next weekend. But I want to continue on wish list today. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to take them out and go to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, and I want to talk to you about something that relates to a lot of things possibly on your wish list. And I want to talk to you about contentment. Everybody say contentment. Contentment. Let me give you in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here, and he's writing this from jail. Okay, and a lot of times when we see these letters from the Apostle Paul and he's talking about, man, how great things are and how God's blessed him and the favor of God and the power of God, all these great things, many times we lose fact that the Paul's circumstances are not the best of circumstances. And this is one of those passages here in verse 10. He's writing from jail and he's writing to the Philippian church. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And here's kind of a real common passage of scripture that many Christians know, many believers know. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But he talks about that scripture in the context of talking about this powerful principle of contentment. Now, let me give you a definition of contentment, okay? Contentment is being satisfied to the point of not being disturbed. Being satisfied to the point of not being disturbed. In other words, regardless of your outward circumstance, regardless of what's going on in your life, because you've surrendered your life to Christ, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. In other words, what's on the inside of you, you get your fulfillment and your strength from within, not from without. And too many people are trying to get contentment from the things that are on the outside instead of drawing contentment from the strength in Christ on the inside. And the Apostle Paul's a great example of this, because if you look at his life right here, he's not getting his contentment because he's in jail. He's not drawing contentment from the encouraging circumstance that he's on the chopping block about to be fed to the lions. He's not drawing contentment because everything's, you know, is going his way and he's only going to get beaten, you know, 39 times instead of 40 times. He's not, in other words, he learned the secret that when things are going his way or when they're not going his way, that he does not try to draw contentment from outward circumstances, outward people, outward situations, but he has learned this incredible principle of contentment where you draw your strength from the inside. You draw from your strength in Christ. Can I have a good amen to that? And so, here's what we're going to, just want to unpack some things from this verse here. Okay, contentment, it's a mindset. Contentment is learned. It's not a feeling. It's not an experience. It's something that God wants all of us to learn. And really, where you learn contentment the best is when you are in a more difficult or trying set of circumstances. You know, and a lot of people, they kind of go to the next level in contentment many times just in life in general. Like if you ever go on a missions trip. If you ever go on the mission field and you really get up close and you really are able to taste and smell poverty and see some of the states that people are living in. I can remember just as a young believer when I started going on the mission field, especially in the Amazon jungle. Man, let me tell you something. You learn how to be very content in America after being in the Amazon jungle for a while. You know, it's like when you are a gringo and you're sleeping in the middle of the jungle on a mud floor, and we're talking about angry squirrels, there's an angry witch doctor who's not glad that you're there preaching Jesus, and there's all these gigantic Amazon bugs that are sucking the fire out of your fat gringo blood. And let me just say this, all that, you know, like we got this thing from the army, you know, like the military DEET, you know, where you put it on. I mean, this stuff is like so powerful, it like dissolved my watch. Dude, that was just like an appetizer to these bugs, you know what I'm saying? It was just like the barbecue sauce on the big gringo meal that I was providing them with morning, noon, and night. And it was at this time, you know, if you have that season where you go and you see what people are living in, and then you come back to a different state, maybe a state of abounding, I'm just talking about the natural and so forth. It's in those times where it really helps you to learn to be grateful, learn to be thankful, and those are all components when talking about contentment. But I want to just unpack some things about how we can learn contentment, because I believe a lot of people are trying to apply Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but this is all in the context of being content. And we need to learn this principle. So look what he says here, verse 11, this is the first key here. The Apostle Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So the first thing he says there, he says, look, okay, I'm in jail, and I got all these outward circumstances that are going against me, you know, and I obviously have needs. I'd like to get out of jail. You know, I'd like to do some, I like for things to turn around and kind of start going my way and whatever like that. But he says, look, I do not speak just in regard to my natural needs. Now, let me explain. Whatever you speak from a mindset. Your speaking starts with your thinking. And with the Apostle Paul, and we can read another, he's talking about, you know, set your minds on things above, not on things beneath. Set your mind. Think about whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's pure. And too many of us, instead of having our minds on whatever's true, that your sins are forgiven, having our minds on eternity, having our minds that this natural life is not our home anyway, but our home is in heaven. Having the understanding that our time here on earth, the Bible says in James, it's but a vapor. It's here 1 second and then it's gone. Whatever you're going through, no matter how good or no matter how bad, guess what? It is temporary. And we have to have the understanding, let's stop speaking or focusing just on our natural needs. Too many people, I'm telling you, man, in fact, there was a study done, and the study basically said this, that if at any time, you can survey people, 90% of people will say that they are dissatisfied with how their life's going. And it usually comes down to three things. They are dissatisfied with the place they're at. They're dissatisfied with the progress that they're making in life, or they're dissatisfied because of the problems that they're facing. 90%, only 10% of people will say, yeah, I feel, you know, satisfied. And if you're, let me tell you what's going on there, unless you're a Christian and you've learned this art, this principle of contentment, what's going on there is it just so happens that those 10% of people, they happen to be in a season of life where everything's going good. Where they're whatever's at a minimum, where things are going those way. And the 90% of the people happen to be at a stage in life where things are not going their way. And you interview those same people again, that 10%, as soon as things, and they will, turn against them, or things not work out, or they get a curveball, they get a phone call, something falls through, somebody disappoints them, all of a sudden they're right back. And they're like, yeah, I'm not content, I'm not happy anymore. But the people that were discontent, as soon as things start going their way for a season, they come back and they say, yeah, everything's all right. Do you see? That's why Paul says, look, whatever state I'm in, our lives, gang, they consist of a multiplicity of states. They consist of a various seasons in our life. And if you can only learn to be content or satisfied in your relationship with God when things are going good, you are going to be very disappointed, because that's not life. Is anybody hearing what I'm talking about? Man, you are going to come into challenges. You are going to come into things. You're going to come into seasons where things aren't going your way. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying right here, is that, look, you cannot get so, this is what I believe. Here's what, people were so needs-based, even in the church, so much of ministry and popular teaching, it's all about meeting needs. Now watch, I don't want to undervalue that. That is very important. We want God. Jesus met needs. He fed the 5,000. He helped people. That's what the church is about. And God wants your marriage fixed, and He wants your finances fixed, and He wants you to be happy, and all these kind of things. However, you have to have a proper balance in your mindset that no matter what's going on in your life here on earth, watch, it's temporary. It's just a speck. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, yeah, you know, even I'm in jail and everything's going against me now. And he's kind of saying, look, I've had everything. I've had abundance. I've had when everything's going my way. I have seasons where people like me. I have seasons where people don't like me. I have seasons where I'm out of jail. I have seasons when I'm in jail. I know how to abound. I know how to enjoy it when the times are good. But watch this. Don't set your expectations on that, because it could all change the next day. Are you following me here? Everything's going great. All of a sudden, here, someone gets sick. Someone goes in the hospital. All of, man, you have the best job. You are so glad with your job. And somehow you have gotten contentment. You're drawing it out of that job instead of enjoying it as a gift and a blessing from God. And then as soon as you lose that job, boom, you're back down. Things were going for you. They're not going. And all of a sudden, your walk with God becomes a roller coaster, and your view on life becomes a roller coaster. This is why Jesus said, look, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But in me, I can do all things. In Christ, you can have peace. This is why Jesus said that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's why Jesus says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Do you understand? I'm quoting the Bible here. This is not the sayings of Fu Manchu. This is the Bible. Are you following me? And we've got to be careful. Somebody, Julie, can you give me your pen? Let me show you the truth. Whatever's going on in your life, I'm going to show you the truth. Thank you. Watch. Here is your life on earth. Do you see that? Your entire life is the tip of this pen, this dot. Okay, on earth, your natural life. James said it's a vapor. It's not even your life compared to eternity. I want you to imagine this entire back wall here, the Annex or Orange Park, South Campus, Middleburg, Hardy, wherever you're attending Celebration Church today. I want you to imagine, you know, the entire back wall. This is eternity, okay? This is your real life. This is your life on earth. Watch, here's your life. Let me get around Santa's gigantic throne. Okay? I know you can't see me back here, but I'm here. Okay, watch. Watch. Your whole life, okay, look, that screen to that screen, that's eternity. That's what's real. That's what's true. Eternity. Look, this is your whole life on earth. There it is. There it is up there. Some of you are like, I need binoculars to see that. I don't even know if you could see it with binoculars. It is a micro speck, man. And you want to know the truth? That speck on the wall, that's your natural life compared to eternity. But really, it wouldn't even stop at the corners of this wall. It would keep going to the ocean and then keep going over to Europe and then keep going around the world and around the world. Your life on this earth is really a speck compared to the entire universe. But we give so much, Paul says, I don't speak according to need. We give so much energy thinking and speaking to our needs and our problems and, God, fix this and I got to be happier here, Lord. And we're trying to draw contentment from this person and contentment from this circumstance and contentment from this thing. And we're so focused. We're just consumed. We're just
Ooh, I can't be happy. Lord, fix the speck.
I'm preaching a lot better than you're listening. This is it, man. Our lives, they are a dot. And this is the first key to contentment. Watch. Yes, God wants to meet your needs. Yes, He wants things fixed. Yes, all these kind of things, but you have to have a proper balance. Your life is not all about just the speck. Your life, your real home is not here. You are here on a temporary assignment. It's like, look at your time on earth like a vacation. Now, for some of you, it's a vacation gone terribly wrong. But it's like a vacation. The Bible says, God says, I sent you into this world with nothing. And guess what? One day the vacation's going to end. And you're going to come back and you came into this world with nothing. You're going to come out of this world with nothing from the speck life. Now, everything that you do for God, giving, serving, Christ-likeness, testimony, witnessing, inviting people to the extravaganza. Now, there you lay up treasures in heaven. That's in the next life. But your speck life, man, you have to have a proper balance of, look, we're driven by eternity. Look, I know this is tough, but man, Paul's mindset was he's got eternity in mind, man. He understands his life here on earth, it's a speck. And so it's all about mission and vision and purpose. And if we can get that balance, let me encourage you today. Listen to this. There is going to come a day when you will never have a problem again. There is going to come a day, guess what, where every tear is going to be wiped away. There's going to come a day where you are never going to experience pain or remorse or regret. There's going to come a day when you're going to have eternal joy. You're never going to experience sadness again. But guess what? That day will not come until we're in eternity with Jesus. And while we're on this earth, we're going to experience some things. So don't set too much expectation as far as this life, focusing too much energy on self and you and fix this and fix that when this person needs to make me happy and this needs to change or I can't get happier. This needs to happen. Man, we're drawing contentment from the wrong things. Watch. We're so concerned with the outward. Guess what? There's going to come a day, guess what? Where everybody... You are gonna look good one day. I'm talking one day, you're concerned about your outward appearance. Watch this. I'm telling you, one day we are all gonna look like all that in a bag of chips. It's called the rapture. When you get your glorified, resurrected body, and I'm telling you, it's gonna be on then. But right now, until that happens, guess what? Your body's gonna grow old. It's gonna get overweight. It's gonna break. It's gonna smell. It's going to emit odors. I understand, look good and all that. Just do what you need to do. But once again, we get so caught up in the outward. We get so caught up in the circumstances. You can't be content like that. You got to understand. You know, talking about vacations that come to an end and just how to look at your life. I remember... one time where I really had to, gave me a good analogy of contentment. One time, Carrie and I, we went on a vacation. We went on a church cruise. That's right. Should be a red flag right there to you. Church cruise. But we were kind of concerned about it, even though we thought we would have fun, especially because Carrie gets like real, real seasick. And like small waves can make her seasick. And maybe I scarred her a little bit on my honeymoon by taking her deep sea fishing in 5 foot, 6 foot seas. But, I mean, I thought we'd have a good time. So anyway, we went on this church cruise. This was years ago, and it was back, Stovey was 3, Kaylin was 5, and we just thought, you know, and they told us, here's what they said. They said, look, you don't have to worry about seasickness because the boat's so big, even when the seas are rough, you don't even feel anything. So anyway, we got on the cruise, we had our kids and everything. The first thing, we went to our room, man. And I mean, this room, you talk about a micro room. I mean, I walked in, I thought I'd walked in like a broom closet on one of the hallways of the ship. I mean, this room was so small. I don't know what, I mean, in the brochures, it looked like there was plenty of room. I don't know what kind of trick photography they were able to do, but it looked like there was plenty of room on the boat. So this room was so, so small. And then, so we get in our room, and then we come back on deck, and we hit the sea. And I'm telling you, man, it is rough seas, and you can feel it big time. I'm talking, we're trying to talk to me. You're like, hey, yeah, how's it going? You know, and you're balancing yourself, and your wide legs, and things like this. So sure enough, Carrie starts feeling bad. She and the kids go back to the room. I come in the room, first night of the cruise, and there's Carrie, green, underneath her little bunk bed, just like all green, man, all seasick. Stovey, I guess a wave had kind of knocked him into the side of his little bed because the rooms are so small, and he has like a cruise wound, like a big, you know, bruise, big head swell on his head, and he's there, he's not feeling good. Kaylin's just kind of bunkered in, and I walk in there, man, and Carrie's like, at the next island we stop at, you are getting me off this boat, and you are putting me on a plane, and I'm going home. So let me tell you what I did. This has a point. Just follow me on this. Let me tell you what I did. Right then, guess what? Expectations changed. Right then I went into missions mode. I went into Amazon jungle missions mode right there on the cruise ship. Expectations changed in an instant. Here's what missions mode is. Missions mode is when you're in the Amazon jungle, when you wake up, you just want to make it to lunchtime. That's the goal. And you divide your day up in like three and four, you know, lunch, the next goal is to make it to dinner. When you eat dinner, the goal is not to be sick and to make it to bed. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's like that. So I went into missions mode right there. I knew I better change my expectations. And let me tell you, just like on the Amazon, in the Amazon jungle, just like on the church cruise, let me tell you what really helps. Knowing that eventually it's going to be over. Eventually we're going to come back to land. Eventually I'm going to be out of the Amazon jungle. So it really helps me set the right expectations and contentment. So right then I went into a different mode. We got carried to the doctor. She recovered. You know, we did have some good times on the, we had a few more injuries. We did almost lose Stovey overboard. Yeah, watch this. So she wasn't feeling good. So I'm having to watch the kids, and Chris and Ashley Brooks are with us on the cruise, and Stovey and little CJ, they're both like 3 years old, Pastor Chris's kid. So I'm watching them. I turned my back for 1 second. I'm telling you, man, it was 1 second. And I look back, they are gone. And out of the corner of my eye, I see them finish climbing the stairs and rounding the top deck full speed. Okay? So sure enough, I run up there. I get up on the top deck. And there they are. You ready for this? You seen the rails on the deck? Now they have those bars. Okay, yeah, it's perfect height where they can climb up over and jump up. They have those bars. Here's little Stovey and CJ with their legs over the thing, holding on to one of the bars like this. So here's what I did. I'm telling you, man, missions mode. It's just like when one of the new missionaries, we're trying to pull him out because he's tried to bathe in a piranha hole. It's just. So I get up there around the corner. Now, you know, if you have 3-year-old boys, you can't make any sudden movements because they're going to do something, man. So around the corner, and there they are. So I'm like, hey, guys. How's it going? Man, isn't this a great wham? Jerk those boys off. And I'm looking at them going, what are you doing? Dude, But anyway, we had some good memories from the cruise. I have lots of good memories from the Amazon jungle. Now watch, here's where I'm going with this. Watch. If I, on that cruise, for my temporary time on there, if I had this expectation that everything has to go perfect and everything has to go right, or I'm going to go into this huge thing of depression, you know how discontent I would be? But watch, your life is a cruise. For some of you, you might be in very rough seas. Some of you, maybe you did have someone go overboard. Some of you, maybe you've had a real disappointment, but watch this. It's just temporary. You're out on a trip. You're out on an assignment. And eventually, you're going to come back in, but your port is heaven. Are you following me? And it's so important that we learn this art of contentment, that this time on earth, it is a speck, it is a dot on the wall. Yes, God wants us to have an abundant life. Yes, He wants us to be blessed and not worry and struggle about money and different things like that. Yes, we can add to the mess through dumb decisions and all that, but I'm telling you this, when you humble yourself before God and you say, God, I'm putting my expectation in you and heaven. I'm going to learn the art of contentment. Here's what's going to happen, okay? Number one, that you're going to come to a trust where guess what? No matter what place you're in, what progress you're making, or what problems you're facing, guess who's in charge? God. God is in control of your life, whether you realize it or not. And you have to come to that place of surrender in Him. And the second thing you're going to realize is all the things that you used to think you had to have in order to make you happy and to make you fulfilled and to make you satisfied, you know what you're going to realize? A lot of those things aren't that important. Or a lot of those things, even though they are painful and disappointing and all those things, they're just not going to have the sting that they once had. When you begin to draw your contentment from Christ, from on the inside and not things on the outside. Let me close with this. I want to give you four things here where people look to get, where they try to get contentment from instead of Christ. And these things will always disappoint. These things will always disappoint. First of all, people. People. We're trying to get contentment out of people. We're trying to get contentment out of relationships. We're trying to get contentment from this group of friends. Even in your family situation, watch this. You can have the best husband in the world. You can have the best wife in the world like I do. You can have the most obedient kids. Did you know, even with all those things in place, they still cannot meet your greatest need for love and acceptance and fulfillment? Only God can meet that need. Only God can do that. And I'm telling you, the marriages that are successful in the long haul, watch this. They have the view of eternity. They understand that marriage is about mission and purpose and vision from God. That's Ephesians 5. It's so much more than them. It's about being a model for Christ in the church, and that they're married. It's a dot, and they need to have the best testimony as they can. I can give you all the help books in the world to help your marriage. And you can get so inward. You know, just communicate that way. And you do this. And I'll do that. And here's some flowers. And you didn't do this. And oh, let's apply this. And speak my love language. And beep, 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 beep. Gosh. Give me a break. You can do all that, guess what, and keep a real inward and a me and a focus, and you do this and I'll do that. Or you can say, honey, you know what? We're all about this. Our home is in heaven. We are on a mission from God, and we have a purpose in this family to fulfill the will of God for our lives and to leave a legacy in the next generation for all eternity. And I'm telling you, if you have that mindset, all of a sudden the little... That stuff doesn't bother you as much. Yes, there's certain expectations that a husband needs to have of his wife and a wife of his husband. Absolutely. Faithfulness and all the things. But I'm telling you, man, you know what being married's about? It's about being a Christian. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? friends. You know, your friends, the people you run with, all those things. Are you trying to get contentment from those things, or are you looking at those things as a gift from God? And man, I'm going to enjoy these things. Another, number two, people try to get contentment from circumstances or from stuff or from what I call expectations. In other words, you got to have this job. You got to have this thing. Okay, I just need this much amount of more money. All kind of things. Those things can never get you contentment. Watch this. Here's what you've said. Man, I finally got my business going to this. It's going good. You've set this expectation. And as soon as the business takes a turn, get ready for a disappointment. Be thankful to God, guess what, that things are going good today. But know that it could all change tomorrow. That job that you just found, if you've been working there a month and you are so thankful and you are so grateful and you're working with a great group of people, guess what? It could be bought out tomorrow. They send you off to another department and you can't stand anybody that you work with. So is that how your life's going to be? You're only going to be content when you're when the right people and the right expectations and the right amount of money and the right circumstances and the right things and the right friends and the right this and the right that. Dude, life's not like that. Life's about the whatever states. Life is about whatever season. Life is about a multiplicity of challenges, a multiplicity of seasons. And if we can learn to be content in Jesus, in heaven, have an eternal view, not spend so much energy on worrying about our specs, I'm telling you, it'll help us enjoy life. You got to have a balance of these things. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Doesn't say you can't get more stuff. It just says, but be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say. Can you really boldly say this? Do you really trust God that he's in control of your place, your progress, and the problems that you're facing? Can you really boldly say this? Because this is what the Bible says. Watch this. The Lord is my helper. Man, God does love you. God does know what's going on. God does care about you. And God is also in control. And he's forming some character on the inside of you. And he's teaching you, don't set your hope in the natural. Don't set your trust and try to get contentment on the things on the outside. You can only get true contentment and satisfaction from Christ on the inside. Don't set so much of your minds on the things beneath, just spending all your energy on your speck life, but understand it's a dot in the big picture of eternity. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know what this is saying here? What can this natural world do to me? Because my real life is not about the speck anyway. I'm on a cruise, good or bad. Couple of casualties, maybe a cruise wound. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy the good times. And the bottom line is, I know I'm going to get back to my port home heaven one day and everything is going to be perfect and incredible. And there's going to be no more pain and no more tears. Here's what I'm asking you. This Christmas, can we celebrate that? Can we celebrate that Jesus came to earth? And you know what he did when he came to earth? Guess what he announced? God with us. Guess what he announced, everyone? Gang, I don't know if this is going to bum some of you out or not, but I need to announce this. This world, it's not your home anymore. My kingdom's not of this world. I've come to save you from the disappointments and the pain and the sin of this world and announce to you, guess what? You're just on vacation. But it's an assignment, and it is important, and God has a will. And you need to help me get on board with my mission. Help me bring as many people to their real home as possible, because your life here is just a vapor. Can we celebrate that this Christmas? How about that? So he goes on to say, Dougie, whoever's leading worship, come up. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6 through 9. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, not godliness with complacency. Don't confuse the two. You know, well, just, you know, nothing's working out for me, so I'm just content. And, you know, I'm just letting my marriage fall apart, and I'm not going to take a job, and I'm going to lay on this couch. And you're not, that's not contentment. Number one, you're being weird. Number one, okay, that's not a testimony. God's called us to fight the good fight of faith. He's called us to overcome. He's called us to conquer. Okay, I'm not talking about complacency. Don't confuse the two. We're not going around digging bunkers and singing kumbaya and just saying, oh God, come rescue us one day. You know why? Because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. We got to leave a legacy. We got to live for Christ like we're going to stand before him tomorrow. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. Everybody say certain. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Think about that. Carry nothing out. That's good news. Your pain, your problems, your trials, your discouragements, your hurts. Guess what? It is absolutely certain you will carry none of that out to the next life. It's all going to be done away with. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Number three, contentment never comes from being negative or complaining. And contentment never comes from running from our challenges. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's about a Christ sufficiency, the art of contentment. Things are going great for you. Enjoy it, man. Praise God for that. That is awesome. If things are going bad, praise God for that too. And guess what? Probably the person where everything's going great, I'm talking about the outward and the natural, and the person where it's not going great, get ready. You're probably going to switch positions in the near future. Looking at Byron over here, what happens? Everything's going great, fantastic, man. All of a sudden, you get the call. Boom, wife's in the hospital. Boom, wife's near death. It all changes right then. But come on, thank God for that, because God healed his wife and pulled her out of that. But it's just, you gotta, you know, you gotta stay. Don't let your highs bring you too high. Don't let your lows bring you too low. Stay in that thing that, man, you're fired up for God. You're on an assignment here. Your home's in heaven. Let's pray. Father.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.